The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Love getting signals from Kiki. It's the highlight of the week for the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Thanks to Jude and the team at Kerr's Hire. I'm running out of J's, Kiki. I was actually in a Kerr's Hire last week.
So it's funny. I was listening back to an episode from 2 years ago because I'm trying to find your comment regarding Tyson Stengel.
Yes, and it's biting the cats on the ass, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't find the episode. Anyway, there was that episode I listened back to thinking it was the one where you'd made the comment was when you said you had to go to Kerr's Hire to get something.
Yeah.
Did you ever go?
Yeah, but well, I went on the weekend.
Yeah, right. Took you 2 years.
Something at home lost a bit of suction, Kingy.
Did it?
I had to, which is never good, is it? I had to go and replace it.
Did you
have anything at home that's lost suction?
Vacuum cleaner.
Have you? No.
And replaced it.
That's what I was referring to here. Yeah, so my vacanoisin, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is, but I like, just like saying it. Is it a whacker or a vacker?
Vacker.
Yeah, vacker.
Vacker.
Well, Kingy,
as I said 2 years ago, he played for Bayern Munich.
He did. Sounds a bit like he's Dutch.
It's German.
Well, it sounds a bit Dutch, doesn't it?
Vacanoisin?
Yeah.
I would have thought it's German.
Oh, possibly.
Anyway.
Somewhere over
we
there.
Digress.
They're not far away.
We're from the Dave Collins studio, by the way.
We are, absolutely. And this is the Some Wounds Have Healed, But Others Have Opened Up edition of the Cat Attack podcast. Do you reckon would have sung that?
What's that?
That song.
What?
If someone was singing a song, Some Wounds Have Healed, But Others Have Opened Up.
Oh, it'd be a country and western.
No, I reckon it'd be more Courtney Love.
Oh, really?
Sort of hole, do you reckon?
Okay.
Do you know that the guy next door to me...
Oh, I thought it might have been Conway Twitty.
Really?
A country star.
Don't you love rock chicks?
Yes.
Yeah.
My favourite,
yeah.
Melissa Auftermore.
Right, from?
Yeah. She was the bass player in Hole.
Right, well...
Also played bass in the Smashing Pumpkins.
Well, Courtney Love in her day was...
Yes.
...was extraordinary.
Yeah, no.
My next door neighbour's name's Albie, and he's in my phone as Albie Loves Courtney, because he absolutely loves Courtney Love. So, now, there's some good ones, Kingy. Kim Gordon's pretty good from Sonic Youth.
Yes.
If you've got nothing to do, we digress for 2 seconds, if you've got absolutely nothing to do and you like your music, and you've come home after a few fizzy drinks and, you know, you might have something else lying around the house you can just launch onto, and you've got 33 minutes to look after,
yeah.
There's Sonic Youth at the basement.
Yep.
And it is absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, she broke up with, was it Thurston Moore? He was the guitarist. They were married for a long time, but they're broken up. But anyway, it's 33 minutes.
Wasn't he on Gilligan's Island?
It's Thurston Howell, isn't it? The third. No, it is fantastic. Some of the guitar work is just extraordinary from Sonic Youth. But anyway, we digress. The Cats.
Yes, we have.
We should
do a music. Just sorry, very quickly. So Pete Ryan's going to join us on K-Rock Footy next Thursday. So he's written.
He likes his music.
He does. So he was good mates, or still is good mates, with the guitarist from Spiderbait.
Right.
They're playing Friday night. So he's going to Spider. I rang him and said, oh, do you want to come on K-Rock Friday night? Because he's put a book out with Scotty Clayton about some of the trades and stuff like that. And he said, I'd love to, but I'm...
Yeah, going to see Spiderbait.
Going to see Spiderbait. Yeah. He was telling me a couple of stories about how, he used to share a house with the guitarist. Oh, I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
No.
But, yeah. But he would also help Cram and Janet move gear around in his mum's Corolla back in the day. He saw their first ever concert at the Tote.
Right. In Collingwood.
Yeah.
Been there many a times.
Yeah.
Saw a few bands there. I'm trying to think. I saw one that was fronted by the son of, was the son of Neil Finn?
Liam?
Yeah.
Or the other one?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the band's name. I remember being reasonably refreshed. At the front of, I've got the T-shirt at home. Anyway, we do digress, but I booked tickets to three gigs this week, Kingy.
What are you off
going
to see?
Going to see the Huxton Creepers at playing.
Who you are a massive
yes,
fan of.
Yes, Rob Croy is a school teacher at Sacred Heart.
Yep.
They're playing at the Croxton on the 8th, playing 12 Days to Paris, the old 40 years of the old. And I also brought tickets for the Bowen Club to see the Super Suckers. And Nashville Pussy are playing at the Bowen Club.
Right.
On the, I think it's the 6th or the 7th of February.
Okay.
So if you've never heard of the Super Suckers, you need to get onto the Super Suckers. They play some really good stuff, including She Used to Be Pretty, Now She's Pretty Up.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, so we digress. But, Kingy, back to the Cats. So we didn't actually start on the
Elroy.
Cats. Elroy.
Is the other Finn's son. So
what
Liam and
the band's
Elroy.
Name they played in? I'm trying to think of it.
Well, Liam's got a wiki page. Elroy doesn't. Was he in Betcha Dooper?
That's us. Yep. Betcha Dooper. Yep. I've got two. Well, at least one album at home, and I've got the T-shirt at home, which I don't fit into.
Too big.
And I remember seeing them at the Tote in Collingwood. Saw a few bands there too. Glide.
I just go to the Corner a bit.
Yeah, well, the Corner's great. Still going there. So, Spy versus Spy playing at the Corner on Melbourne Cup Eve, if you can believe that. Craig Bloxham is busting out the guitar.
Damien Whitty is the guitarist from Spider-Bait.
Spider-Bait. Yep. There you go. So Pete does like his music, so he can't come on Friday.
No.
Big game for the Cats Friday. Just going back, Kingy, we talked about wounds, some wounds healing.
Yes, some opening.
Yes, so the wounds healing were the fact that Geelong seemingly got out of their funk at selection.
And played blokes in position.
Well, they did. They played blokes in position, and they played blokes who should have been playing who weren't. And so the coach, I listened to his press conference last night, and
which one is post-game?
And do you know what? I watched it with my 13-year-old, okay? Right. First press conference she probably ever watched, in fact, because her mother had taken her phone off her, so she had nothing to do, right?
15 minutes of her life she won't get back.
Well, so she was suddenly wanted to talk to me, otherwise she would have had no interest. So we watched...
Daddy and daughter bonding
yes,
time.
Yes, we watched the press conference together, and she said to me, she said, you know, geez, we're going to miss Max Holmes. And I said, yeah, I said, we are. And then she said, is Tanner Bruin, what's he doing? Is he going to play? And I said, well, I don't know. But I said, I think he might be able to play. And then the question came up about Tanner Bruin. It was on cue. Someone asked him about Tanner Bruin. And he gave this salad, word salad about how he can do this and he's versatile and where's he going to be in 6 months and I don't know where he's going to play and I don't know what position he plays and that's a good thing. And at the end of it, Ella looks at me and she goes, so is he playing? She goes, I have no idea what he just said.
He should play.
Yeah, surely he comes back in.
He comes back in. So Chris Scott did media yesterday. Do you know how many journalists did his weekly media
I heard
conference?
You there and I heard, I think, one other.
Yeah, that was it.
Just the two of them.
Yep. And there wasn't a television camera there.
He'd hate that.
So the camera...
He'd be hating
that. The camera that filmed it is the club camera, which they always film it. And usually you'll have one or two, you know, the TV stations in Melbourne pool. You never see the Melbourne radio stations anymore until finals. So they just pull the audio from the Cats. But yeah, it was just us and the Addy.
Wouldn't have been like that, the old cockroach.
Still went 15 minutes. There's still plenty to talk about.
There was. So we look. They picked a team. I wasn't buying. He went out of his way. I think he can. If I'm reading this correctly with Chris Scott, and this is the first year I've watched pretty much every press conference. Not everyone, but I've watched a lot, particularly the last 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm talking midweek press conference.
Yes.
And I've watched the odd post game, but I'm talking the midweek one where he talks about, you know, lots of things. You get a right read of what's happening by it's almost the reverse opposite of what he's saying. Like, he went out of his way to say the changes last week weren't forced by the form. Guarantee 100% they were forced by the form, because he went out of his way to say that they weren't.
Both last week and this week.
Yeah.
That we had a macro plan.
Yeah.
Is he the only coach that's ever used the term macro and micro
plan? Macro plan when you're 10th? Hang on. I don't understand. My frustration is that I reckon Geelong are in a position where they are partly by their own doing. They've stood on too many rakes.
Yeah.
You know, they got beaten by GWS. I know we lost some plays at the end, but they got beaten by GWS after leading by 7 goals.
Who lost to Essendon.
Yeah, correct. And, couldn't get their own way. They lost to Port Adelaide. Rubbish. Lost to Carlton. I mean, they can't win on a winning streak. They beat Port Arlington, Newcomb. They got over the top of Mottawarri. And then as soon as they play anyone's decent, they can't get out of their own way. They've lost to them. And then, okay, they got Gold Coast at the wrong time. Gold Coast have been going shies. And
yep.
They got them at, you know, probably their best game for the year. So you could probably leave that one to the side.
Yeah.
But losing to Carlton, losing to Port Adelaide, and losing to GWS is standing on a rake.
He's going
to
cost you long top four. It's going to probably it's probably going to make them come out of a wildcard game.
And we've beat Freo and then did okay against them, albeit the margin probably flattered us over there.
Adelaide over there. Probably is one they'll look back on.
Oh, but that's a good... I reckon Adelaide are one team that can win the flag.
Yeah.
So,
but it's still a game Geelong will look back on and go...
Possibly. possible. Maybe what I'm going to say is that, you know, they beat Frio and then were okay against them over there. They beat Sydney. I've maintained I do not rate Sydney.
No.
Sydney aren't winning the flag.
Their forward line is...
Well, their defence is even worse.
Yeah.
They just leak. They lost to Hawthorn by a point.
Yep.
They beat Brisbane,
yep,
and then lost to Brisbane,
yep,
and had 17 more inside 50s in Brisbane. They lost to Adelaide by a point. So they're around the mark against those teams. That's with Cameron and Holmes,
yep,
mind you. And then they lose to these teams. And I'm not suggesting you're going to go through every week and win 22, but the good sides like a Hawthorn, who I think are a good side,
win the games they're supposed to.
Yeah. Like they go against Richmond, who are crap, obviously, but they're 10 goals up at halftime. The game's done. Hawthorn, I just think Geelong have... And then some of this stuff that started after the Carlton game or during the Carlton game have... It took them 6 weeks. It's taken them 6 weeks to work it all out. And it's all by their own doing.
Do you think Geelong...
Playing blokes out of position, playing blokes... Keep playing blokes who are out of form, playing names, not playing blokes for roles. It's all added up to have them in a position where if they lose to Melbourne, and Melbourne are favourites,
yep,
now, if they lose to Melbourne, and it's probably unlikely, but if Collingwood could find a way past Adelaide, Bulldogs are playing Richmond, they'll beat Richmond.
Yep.
If Collingwood beat Adelaide and Geelong lost, Geelong will be struggling to finish 9th or 10th.
Yep.
That's where they'll be.
Yeah, but the finish for the season...
5 games.
Yeah, but the last 3, Geelong are winning those.
Who did Collingwood have to play?
No, I'd have to do a deeper dive.
But they'll be 2 games detached from the 8th team.
Yeah, they'll be coming out of an elimination... a wildcard final, Geelong.
Possibly.
If they were to win every game, win out from here, they're probably only finishing no better than 7th.
So they're in a race. I mean, the Bulldogs are 8th. Bulldogs are 7th, Collingwood 8th,
yep,
Geelong 9th.
Yep.
Is that how it's working? I'm just trying to look up the Bulldogs' schedule. I know they have got Richmond this week, which they will pants, and you believe it's Kingy. It's come up with the West with the Sydney Roosters schedule. So I can tell you they're playing this week, which is absolutely irrelevant.
How's James Tedesco going,
Mr. Tedesco? Have you got the?
Give me one sec, Benny. Let me just open up what's coming up. Here we go. 2026. Let's have a look at the fixture.
So this is just to give you an idea of.
Yeah. So this weekend.
Yeah.
So Brisbane and Port, irrelevant.
No, just go with Bulldogs, okay, and Collingwood. Okay. So who do Bulldogs play for the rest of the year?
Okay, so they've got Richmond.
That's a win.
Frio over there.
Yeah, that's probably not a win.
Kangaroos at Marvel.
Well, they would be seriously fancy their chances, but North aren't North of old. So but Bulldogs should be winning that.
Carlton at Marvel.
I'd say Bulldogs would be winning that.
Melbourne at the MCG.
Yeah, that's a 50-50, I would have thought.
Yep. Collingwood have got to go to Adelaide.
So that's not a bad draw for the Bulldogs. Yeah, that's the tough one. I think Adelaide are a good side.
Then the Cats.
Well, that's a big game.
Eagles in Perth.
Yeah, they'll win that.
Hawthorn.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Brisbane at the G.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
The team that Geelong... Yeah.
So Geelong could get Collingwood.
The team that Geelong... are probably most interested in is Melbourne in terms of trying to get out of that wild card. So they need to beat Melbourne for a start.
Yeah.
And then the Demons run home after that is this. They go to the Gold Coast, host Fremantle, go to Adelaide to play Port Adelaide, finish at the MCG with, do you think I can see it? The Bulldogs.
Yep.
So the Bulldogs, Melbourne might be playing last round to finish 6 and better.
Yep.
Bulldogs are probably playing to finish in the wild card.
2 huge weeks against Collingwood Melbourne for the Cats.
Yeah, defining.
No Holmes, no Cameron. Okay, that's fine.
Well, you're not going to have Cameron until at best round 23.
Yeah,
or round 24.
And unless Geelong go deep into the finals, which is looking highly unlikely, then Holmes is done.
Holmes is done. Yeah. They need it. Holmes's hope is a prelim.
So the Holmes loss is a big one.
That's huge.
The Cameron loss, I think Geelong have the capacity to cover. But not Holmes. You can't replace somebody like that. It was interesting too, Kingy. We talked about, you know, the last month we've been, you know, lamenting Geelong's ability to throw the team around and, you know, cock it up and keep playing blokes who are doing nothing. I thought it was interesting that the coaches' votes for the game last week, Myers got six, I think, five or six. Warple got one, and Jack Henry got one.
Right.
So the Warple and Myers have... Well, Warple's been in the two since, 8 weeks?
He was managed before the Brisbane game, and then never got back.
And well, we know Myers has spent the last 3 weeks in the twos.
Yep.
And then Henry's played up forward and done three parts of bugger all and looked far more comfortable down back. So there's three players who have had an instant impact. Played in their rightful positions. Why Myers wasn't playing, I've no idea. I mean, Warple is a different... I mean, I thought he was good. Warple is not going to lace blokes out all the time. No. Is he the most skillful player? No. Is he sort of versatile in terms of what he can do? Yes. He's not slow. He's tough. He tackles. Mm. He can win clearances. He can provide a sort of defensive effort around the ball. So he's versatile in the role he can play. I mean, you look at somebody like Holmes. Holmes is a gun, but Holmes isn't as versatile. He's not going to do all those things. He's probably not going to lay a shitload of tackles. He's not going to, be defensive-minded. He plays a certain way, and he's elite at it, so I'm not knocking him. But you could put Warple in a number of roles in the midfield, and he can do it. I think he had 24, six tackles, five clearances, and I reckon he was second in inside 50s. He had about seven or eight inside 50s. Now, is he polished? No. But do you need blokes who aren't polished
to
be foot soldiers?
Yes.
Atkins and Warple, you can have two. Yep. I don't think you can have any more than two.
No.
But two's a good number.
That's why George Stevens won't get a look in.
Yeah. So I thought he was good, Warple, for what you expect.
Yeah. There's not a high ceiling.
No, if you go in and if he misses the odd kick and you're throwing your hands in the air and you go, oh, geez, you got to get rid of it, like, bloody hell.
Well, Jai Clark missed two or three kicks.
He missed three.
And we lauded him.
I don't think that wasn't a skill issue.
Decision.
It's decision-making
and
issue.
And decision-making that comes from having been out of the senior team.
Yeah, probably. And there are things you can work on. I mean, he played really well, Jai Clark. Mm. Did he get into the... I don't know if he got a vote. Did he get a vote?
I didn't see the coaches' votes.
Maybe it was Jai Clark that got a vote. I'm sure... Well, Myers certainly did. Warple did.
Yeah.
It was Henry or...
Or Jai Clark.
Yeah. It might have been Henry. But I thought Jai Clark was really good. Now, do we want him playing half-back? You could debate no. I don't know. The only thing I just think he probably needs to do a little bit more of, and this is only on a small sample size, is he loves to go backwards and sideways is his first instinct.
Yep.
He seems to just want to kick it sideways or backwards, or maybe look to go forward a bit more. Maybe he needs to get more confidence to do that. I don't know. But I thought he was good. He laid tackles. He was tough. He marked the ball well, took a couple of nice contested marks. I mean, he played the role. Now, do we want him playing half back? He's a midfielder. He was drafted as a midfielder. Is he a bit short for defence? Possibly. Is he a one-on-one player in defence? You'd have your heart in your mouth. I don't know. But anyway, you'd have to think that he would get a game this week, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Would you think that Myers keeps his spot?
I would have thought.
He needs to just get his sort of feet back
up. So Myers got six coaches' votes. Atkins got two. Mullen got two. Warple got one. Henry got one.
Yeah. So.
So wonder who gave the two. Did you reckon Chris Scott's given the two to Mullen for the work on Wanganui Miller?
Cool, he loves Mullen.
And then the two, Ross Lyon's given two to Tommy Atkins. Myers has got two threes. Marshall got nine. Smith got nine. So I reckon Smith's got five from Scott.
Yeah.
Lyon's given five to Marshall.
Yep.
The four's gone the other way.
Yep.
Two threes. Atkins two from Lyon. Two to Mullen from Scott. And then one from workout.
Do you think the coaches actually do the votes?
No idea. Probably not.
Do you reckon that the media department just do them?
I'd be disappointed if that was the case. You would like your coaches, whether it be...
Do you reckon Chris Scott is sitting down and think, I've got to, before I go home tonight to his Wagyu beef, I've got to do my votes.
Do you reckon he's going home to a Wagyu beef at 11:30 at night?
Not after the game. He wouldn't do it straight after the game, would he?
Oh,
I'm tipping he's never done one vote. There you go. That'll be my tip.
Why don't you go to one of his post-match press conferences and ask him?
Just poll and say, do you actually do the coach's vote?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't tell you. He'd say yes. He's not going to say, no, I've got no interest doing those. We actually subcontract that out to somebody who doesn't watch the game. He's going to say yes. I know what the answer is going to be, so I'm not going to ask a question where I know what the answer is.
Can we circle back to Tyson Stengel? That looks like the relationship based on multiple reports.
Yeah, it's done.
He's unfortunately...
Well, I said that, Kingy. I said that he was, when they were talking about him coming back, I said, I'd hold your horses there. Geelong have done everything they can from their end. They've gone out of their way to try and help him. He came back to the club. He ended up in Melbourne for a week or so, trying to get the help that he needed. He came back, and then that was when he played the game. And then it obviously went pear-shaped from there. Where Collingwood are dealing with the same, similar type issue or situation with Bobby Hill. The other question now is, the big question will be, where does the money sit in terms of the salary cap? Because it's not $3, it's $700,000. It's a pretty good play. It's Toby Green.
Yep.
For the next 2 years.
Yep.
Give or take. Are Geelong up for that in the salary cap?
Probably.
That's a disaster.
Because that's if you make that commitment.
That is an unmitigated disaster. Yep. For a bloke that's not even there. We've said it all before. I just can't see how it was a good business practice to do that. To give a bloke a 5-year deal with his history. You're naive to think that your system is just going to override any issues that have happened in the past, and there's not, a likelihood that things will resurface again at some point. And you're giving him, you gave him exactly what you didn't want to give him, something that made him feel safe, comfort.
Yeah.
He was only good when he was playing on the edge.
Yeah.
As soon as he got a bit of comfort into his life and had access to money, things that he'd never had, perhaps, or not never, but had the capacity to access quite easily financially, things just went pear-shaped. I mean, Gold Coast is seeing it with Jamari Ugahagan. I mean, that scenes of him coming out of the disabled toilet with Mac Andrew, that was diabolical. That is absolutely diabolical. There's not one person on this planet who doesn't know
what they're up to.
Yeah.
Yep. 93 games, 160 goals over 4 years. If Geelong had have been told that's what they were going to get out of him and a premiership and he's going to be all Australian, they would have gone, we have got more.
Absolutely.
But
they missed pulling the trigger to St Kilda.
Yep.
This is where I've said this before. We're very naive in the AFL in terms of our trading. Very, very naive. We don't, NFL will get a player, get what they need out of him, move him on at value. Geelong needed to move Tyson Stengel on after his second year.
When he had value.
Yeah. Yep. When he had value. There was writing on the wall at the end of 24.
Yeah, that was his third year.
That was his third year, wasn't it?
Yeah, he kicked 46 goals in 2024.
Well, at the end of that, in that third year, there was writing on the wall that things were starting to go skew.
Well, he'd had the incident in the nightclub.
Yeah, but I don't think, I'm sure that there might be others as well. So, and Geelong's a small place. So,
yes.
You can't hide anywhere in Geelong when you're out and about. So, there was writing on the wall there. They had another club that was interested. It had to be, see you later. And I don't know who made the decision to not pull that, and then who made the decision to say this is a good idea to offer him 5 years at around about $3.5 million. Wow, it's absolutely blown up in their face. Now, if they are on the hook for that, for $2.1 million, let's say, across the next 3 years.
Well, no, it's only two, isn't it, till the end of...
This is his second year, so he's got three more years.
Oh, he's got three, yeah, yes. Yep.
So it's somewhere in the vicinity of $2 million for a player who's not there. If that's if that's going out of your salary cap, that's a disaster. I'd love to know whose decision it was, who's come in and said, let's get this guy on a 5-year deal, let's make this happen, because it's absolutely blown up in their face. And now we're left with a situation where we don't have a crumbing type forward. Are they going to get one? Toby Green's not a crummy. I mean, he can crumb.
I don't think Green's coming.
You don't think?
No.
What's happening?
Oh, just the vibe getting, watching some of the shows. Like, we don't know, but the vibe seems to
he's
be.
He's definitely leaving. He's definitely leaving.
Yeah, so, is he?
Well, he would have signed by now. They're offering him a good deal. They're offering him overs to keep him.
Yep.
And he would have signed that by now.
Okay.
I would have thought.
So you think he's coming?
Well, I don't know. Well, if you read between the lines, I think he's a very good chance of coming to the Cats. I mean, they seem to be the club that is talked about in terms of getting him. Mm. I mean, if he wanted to stay at the Giants, he would have signed by now. Yep. I mean, they've had a deal on the table for ages, haven't they? It's been on the table for, what, 2 months?
Potentially, yeah.
Hasn't signed it. We're 5 weeks out from the season. He's non-committal about his future. He's gone.
Some questions, Benny?
Yeah, I love questions.
Oh, just Mullen will go to Pickett. Oh,
well, that's I was going to say. That is an absolute mouth-watering matchup this week. We know that that will happen. Well, if that doesn't happen, I'd run on the field.
And do what?
With my Murray Rants down, Kingy.
Right, Sean Manor style.
Yes, I could do that. Surely that's the matchup. Got the speed, similar type body shape.
Yep.
If I was O'Shea Mullen, and I was the coaching, I was a part of the coaching staff, I would be directing Mullen to absolutely get under the skin of Cozzy Pickett.
Yep.
He can take his eye off the ball pretty quickly, Cozzy Pickett. Even if that was at the expense of maybe giving away a free kick early.
Yep.
Just trying to unsettle him, getting him worried about anything but the football.
Make that first tackle stick.
Well, just get under his skin. That's what I'd be doing because I know he has a propensity to lose his marbles a little bit.
Yep.
And that's what you want. You don't want him focused on being the best he can be because he's a dynamic player. But that's going to be obviously a key matchup. I mean, we talk about not having Cameron and Holmes. You have to remember that they won't have Turner, yep. Who's a good defender although I think Harrison Petty might be coming back in. He missed last week against North. They also won't have Mychek, obviously, who had that injury, yep. that bad injury.
He's lucky to be walking.
Yeah. Joey Cully's another one that did his knee earlier in the year. He's out. He started the year well. There is one or two others for Melbourne who, obviously, Viney hasn't played all year.
Yeah, he's not going.
But Mychek's a big out, and certainly Dylan Turner. I know he won't be a household name, but he's a really ascending key defender, probably in the mould of Tom Stewart, but perhaps a little bit taller.
Yeah.
So they're missing a couple as well. They're playing good footy, unbeaten at the MCG. They're the favourites. The thing is that they now, if you had said to someone at the start of the year that come, what round are we up to?
20.
Round 20, that there'd be a game at the MCG between Melbourne and Geelong and Melbourne would be the favourite.
Yeah.
You would have said you've actually maybe had been on the Cheech and Chong's a bit too much, Kingy, wouldn't you?
Christian Salem's the other one they could consider to come back to. He's been out injured.
Yeah, he had 26 in the twos last week, I think. So, look, they're pretty healthy, but they do have Mychek's a big out.
Yeah.
I mean, that Van Rooyen, then, does that leave, Gorn against Edwards? That's going to be a big matchup too. A great learning experience for Edwards.
Do the Cats bring back Blitzarves? So Blitzarves, Colajasny, Martin were all listed as managed.
Yep.
Oh, do any geez. Of that? None of them played VFL, so they were legitimately managed in that space.
We used to look.
Whereas Bowes and Nevitt, who were dropped, played VFL.
I if it was me, Kingy,
any of that three worthwhile to bring back this week, or are you backing that you bring Bruin in for Holmes?
Yeah, Bruin in for Holmes, and Bruin plays in the midfield and watch him play well,
and that's all you do. Clark's gone into the Bruin role at half back.
Yep.
Bruin goes into the midfield where Holmes was.
Yep.
And you are not touching anything else unless Manor is not right. If Manor's not right, you're probably bringing in Martin.
Oh God, yeah. Well, I'm not against that. I wouldn't be. I'd be happier with that than I would if I see Martin and even Colajasny, even though he's one of my faves, in. Blitzarves, I know he's been pretty ordinary. Blitzarves, I could probably have.
Roam around the MCG.
As a bit of versatility, possibly, ruck, back.
Yep.
I could probably stomach Blitzarves coming back in. I think Martin, if they're bringing Martin back in,
who goes to Van Rooyen?
Expecting anything other than the rabble he's produced the last 4 weeks, then, well, I mean,
does O'Sullivan go to Van Rooyen?
Yeah, well, he probably does, but that's where, it was me, I'd be having De Koning on
Van Rooyen
and playing Edwards in the ruck and then using Blitzarves to try and run Gorn around.
Yep.
Don't kick it to Gorn.
Yep.
I mean, Gorn is, if you kick it long down the wing to Gorn, he'll mark it six times out of eight, and that's where you've got to play around him. But he isn't the most mobile player, so maybe Blitzarves comes in and might be an opportunity to get him in the game by playing him in the ruck and getting him to actually just run his tail off and run. I mean, who's their second ruckman? Who's second rucks for Melbourne?
Well, Tom McDonald had been doing a bit of that, but he played in the twos last week.
They don't really have a second ruckman, do they? So is it an opportunity for Blitzarves to come back in? I think that if I see Blitzarves and Bruin in for...
Manor and Holmes?
Yeah.
If that's... You hope Manor's all right and that they...
Well, the coach...
So that Max Heath... Max Heath did the backup work last week from St Kilda.
He's a big unit too. Yeah.
He also kicked a couple of goals too.
So he'll stay in.
Or kicked a goal.
Who's
Matthew Jefferson who kicked four goals last week?
No, I never heard of him. We'll see him on the Friday night.
My mate Matthew Jefferson.
I'd like to see. Look, De Koning. They're going to leave De Koning in the ruck. We just know that.
Yep.
I mean, Edwards probably kicks off De Koning. I would love it for De Koning to go back play on Van Rooyen.
Yep.
Allow then O'Sullivan to play slightly different role. Everyone filters down one. Yeah, they're going to play Clark there. You know that that's going to happen. Is that, can he replicate last week? Let's hope so, because I thought he did well. And it's good to see, you know, like it was good for Clark too, because he would have been under pressure. You know, you spend that long in that, you're a top pick.
Yep.
You haven't played in the seniors for how many weeks?
14 weeks? Oh, longer. No, 15, round four.
So four months.
Round three, yeah.
4 months you're whacking away either in the twos or on a bye every second week. And you get an opportunity in a game where you're playing slightly out of position. I know he's probably played quite a bit of their halfback in the VFL, which has probably given him the grounding perhaps, so that was handy. But to come in and then play well, when you know you need to play well to hold your spot, it was really good. Mm. First tackle set up the first goal. Sticky mitts, yeah, he cocked up three or four kicks. Okay, and I said, I don't think it was any, it wasn't a skill problem, it was more just a decision-making. He didn't see, you know, the problems that were there in terms of the kick. But I thought it was a really good effort for him to do that. I thought it was a great effort from Myers. 22 and kick three.
Yep.
First three goals of the year.
Correct.
Hadn't kicked a goal until then. And Warple, we've mentioned Warple. So, yeah, I mean, were you watching? You must, Cat fans must have been watching that game thinking,
what the hell?
How the hell could Myers have been running around the twos?
Off the KFCX, Dr. Venkman, NYC, would you agree the Cats got one of the hardest draws in history this year? Have bottled some games, no doubt, but playing the big boys twice and still yet to match against bottom two. Do we put a fork in this year with the recent injuries? The Cats will never put a fork in the year. They will back in what they've got to... You know, they won't start playing kids for the sake of playing kids. While they are still a live chance of winning a flag, which they are, because they're going to make... They will make the top 10. They will play the best side that they can now.
Yeah, and that's you'd expect that as a fan.
Yeah.
If you're a paying member of the club, you would expect them to put out until they can't do anything.
Yep.
And then you'd love to see a couple of more kids. Yeah. But, I mean, I'd love to see that Lenny Hoffman get a crack, but he's not going to.
No. The draw?
No, I mean, we draw is what it is. I mean, you...
That's the
what, they've played Brisbane twice, Freo twice.
Adelaide twice.
Adelaide twice.
Gold Coast twice.
Yeah, well, Gold Coast are proving to be shit, but... Yeah.
But we didn't think that opening round at whatever time it was, 10 o'clock on that Friday night, we were looking at them going, geez, that...
Yeah, they were on fire. They're having a down year. I mean, that's what expectation can do to you. That's why I just wonder about this week, Friday night. There's expectation suddenly on Melbourne. You know, the expectation for them now is to go and win, to beat the Cats, which, you know, they're the favourites. I don't know, the betting means nothing, but the script has been... has been switched a little bit in that, you know, they've spent a lot of times over the last few years against better teams being the complete underdog. Now they've reached a position where they're playing well, you know, they're pushing for top four, they're up against a team that has a couple out, they're on their own dunghill. They will be disappointed if they don't win. Whereas, and the Cats will be as well, but Geelong are probably better equipped mentally for Friday night, maybe, than Melbourne. So that's maybe where they have an advantage. As I said, Bruin will come in. I guarantee you Bruin, well, if he plays in the midfield, will play well.
Yes.
He's not Max Holmes, but he will play well. Bailey Smith will play well. Dempsey will play well. I thought the defence last week was good. I mean, they kept St Kilda to three goals for, you know, for a lot of that game. I mean, St Kilda aren't, you know, top of the pops, but they have been able to score at times. And they've got, you know, I thought Ollie Henry played reasonably last week.
You can't question Ollie Henry's effort.
I know. His effort's 110%, and he's just a better version of Jack Martin. He can do more than Jack Martin. Now, Jack Martin's limited.
Well, he physically stays alive, Jack Ollie Henry when the ball hits the deck. Jack Martin won contest and...
He's done.
Yeah.
Absolutely Dunsky.
Glenosaurus, there are a lot of cats out of contract. What's the play with these guys and trying to lure free agents and trades? George Stevens, Jai Clark, Mitch Nevitt, Jack Bowes. I don't expect Buse and Stanley to be there in 2027. No. Blitzarb, seems like we're going to make some moves in the offseason. I would be shocked if George Stevens is at Geelong next year. He will go looking for
Buse
opportunities.
Buse and Stanley are gone.
Jai Clark has a one-year offer on the table. He didn't talk. We asked him about his future after the game, so he was letting his manager deal with that. Which is
so you're offering him 1 year.
Yep.
He might look around. His manager would be smart to look around and see if he can get a three-year deal from another club.
Mitch Nevitt is looking around. Jack
Bowes. Yeah, you expect that. I mean, he's not getting a crack now. Yeah. That's run its race, Nevitt.
Jack Bowes,
you can have Jack Bowes.
Essendon have been talking to, apparently.
Well, they can have Jack
Bowes. Buse and Stanley will be done. Does Blitzars get another year? Will he get the right to determine his future?
I wouldn't have thought. I think once you start doing that, I mean, just because he's played 300 games, I mean, he's been a good servant for the Cats, but the club makes the decision, not the players. He's not Joel Selwood.
So is the club telling Patrick Dangerfield he's done at the end of the year?
Well, Patrick Dangerfield is Patrick. He's a Joel Selwood. So you'd probably allow him to make the decision. Bitzlavs isn't in that league. He's been a great player for Geelong. He's been a great find. His story is great. We know all that. But he's not in a position to say, geez, I think I'll go around again. And if he was to come back in and perform, say, for the last four or five rounds like he has for the previous eight, I don't know what you'd be basing off a very, very, very ordinary season for a bloke who's not getting any younger.
Adrian Mancini, boys, was impressed, like many, by Jay Polkinghorne. Think Jai Clark is a guy who has it, just needs game time in the ones to iron out some things and get up to speed. Yeah, thoughts? Well, Polkinghorne will get another chance.
Yeah, he was good.
That was like five shots on goal in your first game.
Yeah, good. And he, outmarking Wilkie. Not many do that. Nick Riewoldt was quite taken by that on the coverage. He said, you know, the bloke he's done that on is no bunny. He looked good. He's lively. He's agile. He's sort of, you know, he's a bit sort of panther-like, isn't he? He has a bit of a gangly sort of way about him. He's a good size.
His nickname's the Dragon.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you watch they had a special sort of on him, which I watched after the press conference with Junior, and on Jay Polkinghorne. It showed his parents and his brothers and in the rooms before the game, and it's actually quite good. Only goes for, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes. Shows him throughout the game, shows his mum's speech. She spoke very well pre-game in terms of his jumper presentation.
Are you surprised that the bloke that last wore number 2, wore it 168 times, played in a premiership, didn't get the chance to pass the number on?
Well, we should have asked him. Yeah, I don't know. Can you? I mean, I think it's a family thing. He's from parts unknown. He's from a place...
Penong?
There's about 280 people.
Yeah.
So the good thing with Polkinghorne too, then, is that you would have thought that there's not going to be a massive lure to go home. He's not from Adelaide.
No, it's a bit like Corey Enright.
Yeah.
Being from Kimber.
Yeah.
He wasn't from Adelaide. It wasn't like going back to...
No, so, in terms of that, if Polkinghorne's career develops and he becomes a very good player, there won't be that pull to go back to Adelaide.
Factor.
Yeah, no. Unless Penong have a team in the AFL, which is probably highly unlikely, although you never know what the AFL might do. But that's
the 20th team.
That's an upside. I mean, is Mitch Edwards, is he from Perth or is he from a region other than Perth?
No, I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah. Interesting to find that out, whether he's...
Well, he's locked in till 25th.
Yeah, no, he is, but whether he's, you know, whether he has the go-home factor in terms of being a Perth boy.
I think that deal takes him to restricted free agency.
And Polkinghorne is not going to have that. Look, he looked good. He looked good. He needs to tidy up, you know, and work on things, which he's played one game, so what do you expect? But probably his pressure.
He's from Mandurah, which is south
about an hour. So he's sort of technically from Perth.
Yeah, it's close.
It'd be like living in Geelong from Melbourne. Yeah.
Enough from Cryo. Rumour has it Ben has a bandage on his arm due to a sprain, watching too many Oisin Mullen highlights in the bedroom. At least he's soldiering on, unlike Loch Ness. Have you ever had an injury near the workbench, Tom? His phrasing is like you.
Yeah, have you ever...
Have you ever done
yourself a mischief, Kingy?
Is this your... Have you got a burner?
No.
Premieres, stay or go. Stanley.
Gone.
Buse.
Gone.
Blitzarves.
I'd be saying gone.
Collegeasny.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favourites. I could mount a case for both. I could mount a case for both there. I mean, as insurance for as a key type defender, they're harder to find.
Yeah.
You're not just going to wheel out the same six or seven blokes every week. There are going to be injuries. There's going to be time. Is he a very good player to have in the wings that's experienced? If you're getting in Toby Green and these other players and you're having a crack at another flag, then you could mount a case that he's handy break in case of emergency type player. But if he wanted to move on or that was it, maybe.
Bowes?
No, I'm happy to have Jack Bowes go on somewhere else.
Nevitt?
Well, he's had a crack and it just hasn't worked. He'd be looking somewhere else.
Dangerfield.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. We need to do a podcast on that, Kingy. If you're getting Toby Green, you know, you're going to have Toby Green at 33. Dangerfield at how old?
37 at the start of next year.
You're going to have Cameron at how old?
33.
You got Jack Martin going around again?
32.
Yeah. You've got Polkinghorne coming through. You've got Mallor coming through. So two young players. Are they going to come in and be Patrick Dangerfield? 100% no. Do you want to try and maybe mix them into the team more? Yes. Is that going to be much harder if you've got Patrick Dangerfield playing? Yes. I mean, I'd be much happy for Patrick Dangerfield to play Jack Martin.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you'd be wanting Jack Martin to play on. If he's triggered, you'd have to somehow get out of that. He can't. If you're getting Toby Green, yeah. Can't have Jack Martin there as well and then have these mid-sized forwards who are not going to get a crack.
Mick Howley, was Benny asked to join the match committee after he suggested changes reaped rewards?
Well, I don't think so, Mick, but I mean, it wasn't just me, obviously. It was most people with grey matter that was functioning in the correct fashion that saw that what was sort of happening and how you'd love to see things operate. And we saw a glimpse of it, albeit there's still a few strange decisions, but it worked, albeit we beat a pretty...
Yeah.
Shires and ours and team. I mean, Wanganeen Miller is so easy to tag. At $2 million a year, I'm glad we're not doing that.
Patience off the big footy posts. Is Buck's not going to Tassie? Is he staying at the Cats?
Do you think that's more and more likely?
I would have thought.
Do you think he could take over as Geelong's coach at some point?
Yep. That gets asked a little bit later.
Right.
Coaches Ben and Kingy, how would the Cats win the premiership this year? Hanging on for dear life and getting Holmes back earlier than expected. I don't think Geelong can win. No, Geelong can't win the premiership.
Well, they can. They're still in the competition.
No, I
don't think they will.
If I gave you $50...
They can win it, but they won't.
You won't go and put it on.
No, 100% I wouldn't.
No.
I'd find a GG to put it on.
Keep the 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would need... They need Polkinghorne to become a real target up forward. They need Shannon Neal to actually start producing again, because his last month, it's fair to say, Ben, has been...
Yeah, he's still developing. He's very much a developing player. He's played, just over north of 50 games?
And into the 60s now.
He's a developing forward. So we set expectations that these guys are going to come out. He's played on some good players. Silvani's having a very good year, and he struggled. Who did he play on the week before? Who did we have the week before, Kingy?
The week before,
yeah,
lost to the Giants. Played on.
Oh, we played Taylor. On Taylor, who's like Bruce Dooley you've never heard of. He struggled there. He's playing on good players. That's the next sort of evolution of his game, is to be able to impact playing on the better key defenders, you know, or the best key defender. Now with Cameron gone, he's very likely to get the best tall defender, which is a very, very good player, even in some pretty ordinary teams. It's not a bunny. I mean, will Lever go to him? Don't know. Or do they bring in Petty? Petty possibly comes in and goes back.
Or does Petty go forward?
Possibly. Turner out means that Petty might come in and play in defence. But yeah, he's still very much learning Shannon Neal. How many goals has he kicked?
For his career?
No, for this year.
It's just on 30, I think.
Yeah, so he's on track to kick about 40.
Yep.
Which, how many did he kick last year?
A similar number.
Yeah. So that's a good effort, because teams are probably putting more time into him. He has this year, I reckon, played more often on the better defender and done okay against some of them, not others. But he has spent more time playing on the better defender. So He's got to continue to grow with that. If he could get to 40 goals, that's a good effort because it's very difficult to maintain that. If he can then get it to 45, 50 the next year.
Well, he was 44 last year.
And what's he had? How many has he kicked this year?
31.
31. So if he could kick two goals a game, another 10 goals, he's going to be right around what he kicked last year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's with
five. Is that for the whole? That's for the whole season, though, isn't it?
44 from 25 games last year.
Yeah. So how many did he kick in the home and away?
Let me have a quick look. So we only played the three finals last year. He kicked a goal a game, so he kicked 41 in the home and away.
So two a game now.
How many games? The same. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good effort. I think there's a bit of improvement, albeit just the goal tally will tell you that it's the same. I think we've seen some improvement in Shannon Neal. It's very difficult to. It's easier to go from a nobody to have a good year to then, once you reach a certain level, your improvement is only incremental.
Yeah.
It's not. You're not going to just keep leaping
you
up every
burst.
Year.
Yeah. Howl of 41, Cats made the right changes versus the Saints. Myers, Close and Warple brought the pressure. Saints had their highest turnover count for the year. Polkinghorne has clean mitts. Thoughts on a potential Zach Merritt trade rumoured in the media. 31 in October, but no major injuries. Can hit the shorter targets and a left footer.
Yep.
Bombers reportedly interested in Bowes.
Yeah, well,
would you take Zach Merritt for 2 years?
Yeah.
With an option of a third?
Yeah. 100%.
Because he's the bit of class that the midfield's missing.
Yeah, he's a link player. His skills are good. He is good at hitting up those short targets. Is he having a bit of a down year? Yes.
Because he's playing somewhere he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, and he was good on the weekend, mind you. I think he had 30-plus against Giants. But 100%, he's the sort of player that Geelong 100% could do with. He's probably... I don't know, a poor man's probably not the right word, but he's a rung below, but a similar type to Butters.
Yep.
Butters is probably more imaginative than
creative.
Yeah, than Merritt.
Also, Marshall rumours would prefer we stick with Big Junk and try to get a gun mid before going after a ruckman. I think the Marshall ship sailed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think. With the advancements of Edwards signing him to a decent-sized deal, they're going to go with Edwards, hope Conway can come up and be the second option.
And you've got Joe Pike, who's advancing too in the VFL.
Yep.
Written, spoken, and authorised by Lieutenant Harrison Proctor, Police Academy, and Blue Oyster Bar. Cats, 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 Cats. How much of a disadvantage is it this week that the senior coach of the opposition this week was an assistant coach of the Cats last year?
Yeah, well, it doesn't. He would have intimate knowledge, but...
Chris Scott made a good point, though. Sometimes you might overthink it with that information that you've got.
Yeah.
Rather than worrying about your own backyard.
Yeah, possibly, and I don't think that's all. It's all it's cracked up to be, in fairness. But it can't hurt. He'd know the idiosyncrasies of some players, I don't think it can hurt. But it's not the be all and end all. I don't think it's going to make any difference in the long run.
Just thought I'd mention, this is Footy Lad Zero, that the Catters have a real one in Polkinghorne. Fantastic hands, great jump at the footy. But what really wasn't spoken about is his follow up work and pressure. Question for this week, would you guys like to see the Cats prioritise more youth against some of the lower-ranked teams like Essendon, North and Richmond by debuting any one of the current guys playing VFL? Hoffman, Burke, Hunter Holmes, Mollier or Mellor, who's kicked over 30 goals this year at VFL level. Cats won't be prioritising debuting any of that crew unless Geelong got a run of injuries. The next one is Hoffman. If they were desperate for a small crumbing forward, Mellor would get a look. Mollier, no.
He's more of a marking forward, though, Mellor, isn't he? He's not a small forward.
Mellor?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great at ground level.
But he's not a nippy type forward. He's more of a sort of a Ollie Henry type, isn't he?
No, he's not that big.
Just thought he's watching his highlights. He seems to mark the ball really
well. He does. That's good overhead.
That's his one.
But he does find it.
Is he quick?
Yeah. He's got some good toe.
Yeah, well, he's one. I mean, Hoffman is the one there that you would think, if they're seemingly desperate to play the midfielders across half-back all the time, including Bruin and Clark, then Hoffman is a half-back. He's a skillful, quick half-back. Second-year player, is he?
Yes.
Yeah. He's the one that you would think is logical to get a crack. Mellor's not going to get a crack above some of those blokes in the forward line at the moment. He's a million to one. And Hunter Holmes is just not ready.
No.
So they won't even be looking at him, I wouldn't have thought.
Fox Dog 50. Gents, have to say it was well worth going down to the club to watch the Cats play St Kilda. Started off at the Barwon Club, then went to the St Mary's Club Rooms for a couple, then landed at the Cremorne until 1, I think. Let's say in Benny's words, I was well refreshed.
Yeah, I would love. It's nothing better than being reasonably well hydrated.
It's amazing how good players play and the team looks better when certain players are playing and also playing in their natural habitat. Surely there is a clause in Stengel's contract with his past history that we won't have to pay out majority of his salary. Plus, if he's not turning up to what his contract conditions will say, he's not turning up when right physically, that's all got to be played out in the background. They'll come to an agreement and that will be the end of Tyson Stengel's tenure. Well,
the biggest thing is there, the impact of that on the salary cap.
Yeah,
that's the key. Yeah. Move him on and, you know, the money's the money, but what's it going to do to your salary cap? Because $2 million out the door for someone who's actually not there, that is diabolical.
Question on Myers with his knee at season's end. Will he need to have a full knee reco or will he need surgery at all?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Kingy. I mean, I've heard a couple of stories where things have healed themselves. Now, I don't know whether that's just absolute folly or whether that's an actual likely outcome. As far as I know, thinking was that he would need surgery and then miss next year. But, yeah, I think it's probably to be determined. And whether or not he just didn't have the surgery and kept playing, I mean, it didn't seem to impact him on the other night against the Saints.
Surely
it hasn't impacted him in the twos.
Surely by now, Toby Conway's name will be off the injury list as TB confirmed and have a number of weeks next to his name. Yeah, he won't be playing this year. Regarding Mullen on Cozzy this week, from Daz Broncos. Yes. He's actually put up some footage of Mollier in the reserves doing a buddy impersonation a couple of weeks ago where I think he must have runs.
Had a few bounces.
Yes.
What's his name chasing him? Jaime Hooker?
Yeah. Regarding Mullen on Cozzy this week, do we think that knowing that Cozzy can lose interest in chasing defensively, that Mullen can work off him when we have the ball in hand to make a difference, or will it just be the normal expectation of Mullen engaging Cozzy all day long and clamping him? I suspect they'll say to him, if you can take him forward or get off him, just make sure that when you do get off him that you're not in a position that you're out of position to get back on him.
This sounds like a Dr. Seuss novel thing.
I think if you're
dicing with death, if you're asking O'Sheen Mullen to start being offensive, I'd love for him just to be clamping pretty much and see how the game's going. Might be dictated to a little bit by the scoreboard and how Pickett's going. But, yeah, I mean, look, any player is going to try and get involved in the game at any point in time. But I think his number one priority has to be clamping down on Pickett because he's a real match winner for them. He's electric. He's quick. His agility is off the charts. He hits targets. He can kick goals. You know, he's the absolute spark. So I'd be erring on the side of clamping him down first and foremost before you start worrying about getting a kick because we've seen O'Shea Mullen, his one word ain't getting a kick.
Yeah.
It's clamping down on someone.
And Jai Clark has a one-year deal in front of him, yet not yet signed. Do we offer him two? I would. I think it's just one at the moment, but I suspect there'll be interest elsewhere.
Well, his management would be doing him a disservice not to be looking around. If someone's prepared to offer him three, you'd think Jai Clark would be gone.
Yep. Yeah.
So if he's to play like he did the other night for the remaining five games, he will have teams offering him more than one.
Yep.
And which means will Geelong revisit the offer or will they be happy to let him walk? Because he'd have to be part of a trade then, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So that might be an option.
Yep.
We may be able to look, they may feel that Hoffman is better in that role, Bruin is better in that role, Holmes is better in that role. They could use him as part of a trade. If he could play five or six games, string them together, show that he belongs at the AFL senior level, it might be a bargaining chip for the Cats in terms of a trade.
Connor O'Sullivan's going to join us in the pre-game.
Is he? Pre-game?
Yep.
Before the game? Is that the pre-game?
Yeah, it is the pre-game.
Right.
Yep.
Putting up a young fella before the game.
Yep.
That's what gives you an idea of where he's at.
Correct. Tells you what they think of him.
Well, that'll be fantastic. He's my favourite player, Kingy. So I'll just get the duffel cut. If you get Pothole to take the Connor O'Sullivan badge down there and get him to sign it.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.